We present the news quiz with your host, Joe Brand.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a tweet from a community group in Crowborough, read by Diana Speed.
We would like to extend our huge thanks to Co-op Funeral Care, who allowed us to use their meeting room for our Still Life painting course this week.
And thanks to Robin Wilson for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Frances Ween and comedian Sindhu V. And opposite them, on my left, Lloyd Langford and Lucy Porter. So, Frances, who danced the blues away?
Is it Donald Trump? It's the Tories in Birmingham. They were very frisky, weren't they? They gathered at Birmingham. And actually, until about Thursday, all anyone talked about was Boris Johnson. Although he himself wasn't there for most of that time. He was lurking in Oxfordshire, and there must be so many photographers camped full-time outside his house in Oxfordshire, because every hour a new picture would appear saying Boris Johnson mocking Theresa May by running through a field, and Boris Johnson taking in the newspapers with a big grin on his face, obviously going to chortle over a bit of mischief that he's been up to. I should think he does chortle, I believe, doesn't he? He harumphs as well. Have you noticed? He's the only person on Earth who still harumphs, I think. He does sort of...
and various other Victorian verbs. He ejaculates, I believe. As well.
In Agatha Christie, you often... It says, Poirot let out a forcible ejaculation. And when I started reading at the age of 8, I thought, that's surprising. So Boris was forcibly ejaculating in Birmingham, and... He did his usual act. He sort of entered in clouds of glory and on a golden throne or something, and they all loved him. And he did his usual pile-up of metaphors. He said he was going to put lead in the collective pencil because otherwise Brussels, we'd be, was it, frozen in their tractor beams. It made no sense at all. I think the thing is he likes to have his metaphor and eat it, and so he just can't stop himself saying, a 700-pound gorilla in Brussels has strapped a suicide vest on and holding us to ransom, as gorillas so often do, and is then driving a tractor straight at him. And so for a brief moment it looked as if Boris was about to announce a leadership challenge and sweep the country, and then Theresa May just sashayed in the next morning rather brilliantly.
Did that deserve the sachet?
They said she danced. I don't think you could really call it dancing. She did a sachet, and it was sort of a swanky swivel type walk, I think.
I don't think sachet or swanky or even swivel are words that you could apply to what she did. She did movements.
Jerky jive, a kind of...
Yeah.
A bit of gentle jiving went on. And then she couldn't... When they were applauding, she couldn't stop herself a little bit more because ABBA was still playing. It was Dancing Queen, unfortunately not SOS, as it should have been. But and she gave her speech, and rather brilliantly, Boris's speech, insofar as when he wasn't talking about tractor beams and lead in pencils, was all about Chuck Checkers, which actually I'm old enough, probably the only person here old enough to remember Chuck Checkers. I used to have his greatest hits album. Back in the 60s, Theresa May managed to get through her entire speech without saying the word checkers once. Well, she may have said it once, but I think she got away with it. I mean, it was basically all about the sunlit uplands and how we've got a whole new world out there and everything's marvellous and we have the future ahead of us and the past behind us and we're going to have a festival in 2022 to celebrate how wonderful it all is, and I am going to be around to organise it. It's going to last all year. If ever there were a reason for dying sooner than that...
Do you know how did Tory Deputy Chairman James Cleverly describe the Prime Minister's dancing?
I don't know how he described it, but I think like dancing is like too strong a word. It looked like a removals man on MDMA trying to shift a wardrobe. I saw that and I thought Brexit is clearly already taking effect because it's limited their own freedom of movement.
It was a bold move to dance to ABBA as well, because if there's one thing you don't want at the Tory party is to remind them of a band that split up due to internal differences, really.
Tory Deputy Chairman James Cleverly described her dancing as classy, and Michael Fabricant called it totally brill. So, how old is he? Anyway, what policies were announced in the speech?
None whatsoever.
No, there were. There were about two or three. There was some... One, the only significant one was local councils being allowed to borrow money to build houses. Yeah. That was the...
That's right, lifting the cap on how much they can borrow.
And a festival and the future. I mean, what more do you want?
Oh, yeah, a Brexit festival. And I think the band schedule so far are Madness and Simple Minds.
This is Theresa May's keynote speech ending the Conservative Party conference and kick-starting her future career as the one who goes out first in Strictly. Now, the speech went better than last year. She spoke clearly, danced little and smiled with all the easy grace of someone passing a kidney stone in the communal bathroom of a French youth hostel. Among policy announcements in May's speech was a promise to lift the cap on the amount councils can borrow to invest in new housing. The housing crisis could be solved quite easily if every time a government minister appeared wearing a hard hat, they were made to build a bloody house. Now, according to Labour, Theresa May's claim that austerity is over lacks credibility. But how would Jeremy Corbyn know? He lives off his allotment and dresses in fabric torn from abandoned bus seats. Austerity began for him in 1978 and will never end. 2 points to you, Francis. Sindhu, which couples will try to be civil?
Ah, this is... Now anyone can have a civil partnership. Used to be only same-sex couples. Now it's what they're calling opposite-sex couples, which makes... As a married person, I think, as soon as I think of myself as opposite sex, it's kind of echoes what marriage is really like. You're just on the opposite ends of everything. Anyway, so yes, now anyone can have a civil partnership. You don't have to be same sex. And it's been hailed as a very good thing because all the patriarchy of marriage and saying that you're owned by a man and such other concerns are no longer, you don't have to buy into that. You could just have a civil partnership. So there you go. I mean... Look, if it makes people happy, great. If civil partnership, marriage, it's all the same thing ultimately, right? You know, same person, same habits.
Same, I know. I think the best part of a civil partnership or a marriage is when you've been together quite a long time and you don't need to bother anymore. You don't need to wash, believe me, and you don't need to even talk to each other.
No, and I mean, it's that thing where, you know, you wake up in the morning and one of you is brushing your teeth, one of them is doing something else, and you look at each other in the mirror, and it's the same question, which is this the best we could have come up with? And the other person, without even, you don't even say it, and the other person says, yep. And you smile and you go about your day. Then you know, like we're here to stay. Do you see what I mean? So anyway, so that's a civil partnership. And I was quite... I actually had never realized that it wasn't allowed because my husband's Scandinavian. And in Scandinavia, it's pretty much the norm, civil partnership, because they don't really marry. And I'm from India, where you only marry and then stay married. I mean, you don't divorce. You torture your spouse to death, but you don't...
I mean, I think it is interesting, isn't it? And I understand that people say, well, we don't want all the sexist trappings of marriage. But I think, well, you can have marriage without that. Like, you know, in my marriage, I kept my own name. I put the bins out. I put shelves up. I also do all the washing and laundry. Basically, I've screwed myself over a tree there. But,
you put the shelves up?
Very low shelves, right? I mean, more skirting board, really. But, there was a Conservative, Sir Edward Lee, who he tweeted, oh, well, what about siblings? And everyone kind of thought, oh, he's just being like those people who, when gay marriage was introduced, they were like, oh, you'll be marrying your dog next. But it turns out it is actually a thing.
Yeah.
That it is, you know, if you are... there's these sisters who've been living together for years and they raised the child of one of them and they want the same inheritance tax rights and all of that stuff. And, you know, it is quite interesting that it what constitutes a partnership, a relationship, it isn't just about, you know, sex. I mean, especially when you've been married a while, it's not at all about it. I was thinking, God, I could live out the rest of my days with my sister. We've never got on.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel slightly ashamed to say I got married in church. Like, they didn't realise I was a Satanist at the time. But I had so many fags before I went in to get married. The village thought that a new pope had been elected. So
it'll be a bonanza for the card company. I always think it's nice for Clinton's and Hallmark, isn't it, when there's another thing. It's like, because you go in now and it's amazing, all the kind of, you know, happy humanist naming ceremony to my favourite supply teacher, all of that. It'll be fun. You get a little card, you know, congratulations on your special day. You're having a civil partnership and you're not even gay.
So the Prime Minister announced this week that all couples in England and Wales, regardless of gender, will finally be able to choose civil partnership as an alternative to marriage. The breakthrough is largely the work of campaigners Rebecca Steinfeld and Charles Kyden, who will forever be remembered as the Gandhi and Martin Luther King of people who don't want to spend £5,000 on a cake. With marriage, there is a patriarchal history where women are seen as property. And I can't tell you the amount of times I've Googled myself only to find my husband's listed me on eBay. No minimum bid, collection only. There has recently been a rise in people having deathbed marriages in order to secure their inheritance rights. A deathbed marriage is almost identical to a normal marriage, but when you kiss the bride, you do it twice, followed by 30 quick compressions to the chest. Two points to Sindhu. Lloyd, over to you. Who's been supremely two-faced?
Oh, this is probably the bleakest story in the news this week. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford has accused the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, of sexual assault when she was younger. And President Trump sort of initially described her testimony as compelling, and also said she was a credible witness. And then he had a rally this week in Mississippi, which are two words you don't really want to hear together. He sort of mocked her testimony and basically made fun of her in front of his supporters and questioned her version of events and basically got a lot of laughs off someone's misfortune. Trump is kind of like one of those bins you see in the park. He's sort of brightly coloured, but ultimately full of shit.
The Mississippi rally, there were actually people behind him as he was ridiculing this woman. And he somehow has this idea that when he's at these rallies in front of thousands of Trumpites, it's, you know, he's among friends saying, really say what he means. Never mind that it's all being televised. And so he abused her in the most appalling ways. And there were all these women behind him waving things, saying, women for Trump!
Yes, exactly. But the things he was saying were for all women. He was saying, yeah, she couldn't remember this, she couldn't remember the house, she couldn't remember this. Like, if you don't have all the details and a video of your assault, you can forget it. You know what? It didn't exist. That's pretty scary.
Well, also, like, so hypocritical of him criticising other people's memory when, you know, according to Stormy Daniels, after the birth of his last child, he forgot he was married. You know, he's just a... He is the limbo king, just when you think he can't go any lower. It's just...
You'd also think if you were going for a job interview and before you got the job, there were three accusations against you of sexual assault, you might sort of think, maybe I should sort of take myself out of the running for this. Like, I've been for job interviews before where I sat down and the guy said, I've got your CV and you spelt curriculum vitae wrong, and I've just stood up and left.
Well, this is the constant plague pit fire that is American politics, where Donald Trump has used a rally to mock Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, accuser of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. You might be surprised to know that I've never been the subject of a Senate hearing myself, but if I want to be shouted at by elderly white men for hours at a time, I normally just let the dog take a crap on the local bowling green. The nine Supreme Court judges are appointed for life, like in the Vatican, but with numerous allegations of sexual assault and cover-up. Like in the Vatican. 2 points to you, Lloyd. Right, and at the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Sindhu have 4 and Lloyd and Lucy have 4. So... Righty-ho. Let's move on to round two then with an online review for some medical wipes.
I would thoroughly recommend these wipes. I use them daily to help clean the bathrooms, surfaces and knobs of elderly relatives living with me.
And thanks to Trevor Williams for sending us that. Lucy, who is hacked off with Vladimir?
So this is about Russian cybercrime. Russians have been hacking into everything from government departments, banks, TV channels. There was an exciting thing where they said a UK-based TV channel had been hacked, but they didn't say which one it was, which of course led me to... I was like, is it Challenge? They've been trying to change the result of a 25-year-old bullseye episode.
It was actually, it was Babe Station. Yeah, they were putting more clothing on. Babushkas and furs and whatnot.
So the Russians have basically said it's rubbish. But the Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, said the allegations were a diabolical perfume cocktail, which was the original working title for Lynx Africa. But, you know, obviously she's taunting us because she's sort of referring to Salisbury and it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. But, I mean, it's very close to home for me. My husband's computer got hacked and someone put some awful pornography on there. and the names of divorce lawyers. So...
I'm not sure if you know this interesting fact about Vladimir Putin, but he's had so much plastic surgery work done that he's now legally classified as an action figure.
There was some... In Holland, I think they chucked out some Russian spies as well. And again, so these guys, they were sat in a car and they'd put the equipment on the back under a coat on the parcel shelf. And they got chucked out, and they were very calm about it. And they even had, they'd kept their taxi receipts. It was like, they just don't care about being caught. They'd rather, it's like, well, I've got to claim the expenses. That is more important than being caught. They've just got absolutely no fear of...
I mean, you can tell they don't care about being caught, because one of the guys from Salisbury, his alias was Ruslan Borishov. It's like if you were given 10 seconds to make up a Russian name. I don't know, Ivan Kiev?
In Lidl, the own brand vodka in Lidl, there's two types. There's Ratmaninoff, and you go, right, fair enough, that's Russian. And then the other one is Putinoff. Which, I'm not going to drink that at the moment, in case it's late.
I like the thought of you in Lidl presiding over the vodka. I have to say, I'm going to come down as well. They've got other exciting things.
Oh, they have the... because they always have a liqueur of the week, which I always... They had, it was lychee the other week. It was lovely. I got home, had that straight away. I couldn't wait, tucked in. But yeah, so the little boo section is very exciting. It's like tribute bands. They are all, it's like...
Cool. I tried making a lychee martini once. Mm. They're very difficult fruits to milk. Once you've peeled them and then got the pip out.
Yay.
I was there for about 45 minutes. I'm going to go to Lidl next time.
Well, the news quiz Christmas party, everyone down to Lidl. We'll meet you there. This is the accusation from the UK government's National Cyber Security Centre that the Russian Military Intelligence Service, GRU, are behind multiple hacks of high-profile targets, including the World Doping Agency, the Chemical Weapons Watchdog and the US Democratic Party. Jeremy Hunt said the cyber attacks had cost national economies millions of pounds, mainly because the Kremlin keeps ordering pizzas to the Foreign Office using his Just Eat login. The World Doping Association were targeted by hackers after Russian athletes were accused of state-sponsored doping, with one 16-year-old gymnast so shocked by the allegations she nearly dropped the double-decker bus she was bench-pressing. 2 points to you, Lucy. Francis, who's trying not to spread the clap?
It's the Students' Union at Manchester University, and Boris Johnson, but I think we've already had him. It's the Students' Union at Manchester University who have asked, quite politely asked, they haven't banned clapping, but they've asked people to stop clapping and cheering, I think, at speeches or lectures or performances or anything, because it's potentially hostile to people with anxiety issues or to deaf people who can't hear the applause. And so they prefer a more visible but more silent form of applause, which is jazz hands, where you hold up your hands beside your head, above your shoulders, and wave them about a bit silently.
That's us working well on the radio.
And it's very good, this thing. But it also, I find myself wondering why jazz hands, and discovered that eventually, of course, it derives ultimately from the jazz singer, that 1920s film with Al Jolson, the first ever talkie, and also one of the most notoriously racist performances in the history of movies, with Al Jolson all blacked up and singing Mammy, I walk a million miles for one of your smiles, my mammy, and all this sort of thing. And this is apparently less triggering to have suddenly a whole hundreds of people in a room doing an Al Jolson impersonation than having them simply giving a little round of applause. It's quite bizarre. I would think the Al Jolson is more triggering. And also, I'm quite surprised, you know, if they're all meant to be groovy, that they want this trace of the jazz singer on the Manchester University premises. But anyway, they do. I mean, I'm not sneering or mocking at these students. I'm sure they've thought it through. But it's just one of those things that slightly puzzles me. But then, you know, when you get to my age, everything puzzles you, really. What are jeggings? That sort of thing. So many questions. But there is a compromise. Apparently, in some places, they've introduced finger snapping instead. So it's less aggressive than clapping, apparently, but you do still make a little noise, so deaf people and blind people can get the benefit of... And no one will be triggered, because finger-snapping, you know, it's...
When I went to university and I went to jazz and poetry gigs, they used to finger-snap. I went to university in Greenwich Village in the 1950s. apparently the finger snapping is not as disruptive to a performance. So if you finger snap someone, everyone in the room can finger snap and the performer can keep on reading the poem or playing the music. Whereas a round of applause is a sort of, you sort of have to wait for the audience to stop and then carry on.
My audiences are very considerate in that way.
They asked the young lady who was, you know, at the university, and she had an answer that I sort of memorized because I'm going to use it every time someone asks me something like a school teacher about why my kid's homework is not completed. She said, "You raise a very good point, but the place we are in the conversation just now, we don't have an answer." And I was like, that is diabolically amazing.
It is one of those stories that it's just been, you know, ramped up to annoy. Like, Jeremy Vine got cross about it. I like to
Do you know what Piers Morgan said about it?
Yes. God.
I expect he was all in favour, wasn't he?
He said Britain's got an
hour. He's a very empathetic man, yes. He supported it wholeheartedly, apart from saying it was a sign of Britain losing its mind. Thank you, Piers.
Did anyone use the word snowflake at any point?
I'm not...
Because that's another mystery. I mean, why do people think the worst insult is to call them snowflakes? When snowflakes, they're beautiful things. I mean, everyone loves a snowflake. I don't why it's so pejorative to call people snowflakes.
Well, I think the ones who are being called snowflake don't like it.
Oh.
And I think they think
I love being called a snowflake.
There you go.
Unfortunately, you're not a snowflake.
calling someone my little cabbage in France, isn't it? Sweet.
I'm more sleety. I've gone beyond snowflake. I'm just hardened.
Sleet. I'm slush. thanks. No one disagrees with that. And it's so true. Thank you for your input. I will retire. The University of Manchester Student Union is discouraging clapping at their events and hopes that people will show appreciation instead by using jazz hands. I'm looking forward to seeing people singing. If you're happy and you know it, keep it to yourself because some people don't like sudden noises. And the move should, of course, not be confused with the popular musician Jazz Hands, whose subtle blend of freeform bebop and traditional Bavarian oompa music will still be terrifying audiences throughout the country. 2 points to you, Francis. Anyway, Sindhu, why is it about time for a female doctor?
So this is the Nobel Prize that Donna Strickland has got, and she shared it with two other people, becoming the first woman in 55 years to win the prize for physics. Apparently, someone had tried to get her a Wikipedia entry previously and had listed some of her, you know, achievements, and Wikipedia was like, no, this person is not good enough. And then this happened, and Wikipedia pronto got a bunch of things on, and now she has an entry. But the thing I like about this is it was the shortest, most intense laser pulse that she discovered, which turns out they use in fixing your eyes, which I've had done by laser. As my mother always has said to me, you have very few good features. One of them is your eyes, take it off the glasses. And I used to say, I can't see without them. She would say, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so I was very thankful. And I think that this great achievement should win the Nobel Prize because it's made my life a lot better. Also, laser hair removal. I mean, you know, I'm Indian. We're right up there in Yeti territory, so we are. And so that's not a problem. Like a fish now. Hey. Anyway. Oh, you know, like when someone wins a Nobel Prize in physics, you're like, ah, what do I care? I'm like, good. She deserved that prize.
I'd love it if she had just kind of taken the mickey and gone, I was just trying to get rid of my facial hair.
Yeah.
It's amazing what I've done.
And the other thing about her that I loved is they said to her, what do you think? You're the third woman that's won it in so long. And, you know, and she said, at least we're moving forward.
Yeah, and it was a big shoes to fill as well, because, you know, Marie Curie set up all them charity shops.
Exactly, that's right.
About 24 hours after an Italian physicist, male physicist, had given a speech at, I think, at CERN, the Particle Physics Laboratory.
That's right.
Saying women can't do physics, they're nobody good. I think it was Alessandro
Strumia of Pisa University. He said physics was invented and built by men.
And he's from Pisa. Does yeah. he?
Because I think what's happened is not really about respect for women. It's that nobody understands what they've actually done, and it's just kind of much easier to go, ooh, look, a lady won. how much is the prize? Does anyone know?
About 700,000 altogether.
But yeah, they, roughly. They divided, don't... Yeah, it's 800K or 9 million Swedish krona. Must be so difficult, mustn't it, to hear the prize is 9 million Swedish krona. To be divided by two. Oh, fuck. Anyway.
At least it wasn't Zimbabwean dollars. You'd end up owing them money.
So this is Donna Strickland, the first woman to be awarded a Nobel Prize in Physics for 55 years for her work in laser science. Before she was awarded the prize, Professor Strickland had no Wikipedia page, as she said, meaning her pioneering work was considered less culturally significant than Series 3 of Love Island, Ed the Duck, and the music of Nickelback. A laser is a device that emits light through a process of optical amplification based on the stimulated emission of electromagnetic radiation. You know, just like us girls are always banging on about. In other science news this week, as we said, one professor, Alessandro Strumia, has been suspended from his position at CERN for claiming in a presentation that men are discriminated against in science because they invented physics, and so women scientists are just stealing it off them. What a great scientific discovery! A real live dinosaur! He presented graphs showing that women get jobs over men. When you're presenting your grievance in graph form, you know you've lost it. OK, 2 points to Sindhu. Lloyd, who's boxed themselves out of a corner?
This is news that about the Shetland Islands. Traditionally, on maps of the United Kingdom, Shetland's sort of depicted in a box just to the right of the Aberdeenshire coast. I thought it was a bit like that walled floating village that Kevin Costner visits in Waterworld. Anyway, it turns out Shetland, surprise us all, isn't in a box just to the right of Aberdeen. It's actually a lot further away. And the Shetish are... the Shetish are absolutely furious. And
they're absolutely furious at being called the Shetish.
I've just been passed the note. I know, they're the Shetlanders.
I love
them. I mean, they're not going to come and get me because they're trapped in a box. There is an amendment to Ireland's Scotland bill, and they've decided that from now on they're actually going to show the Shetland Isles where they are, which I thought was usually one of the key one of the key elements of map making.
The minister who's been proposing this amendment is a Lib Dem called Tavish Scott. Which is like such a made-up name, isn't it? It's the Scottish MP, let's call him Tavish Scott, and his Tory opponent is called Quentin the Landowner.
Liberal Party leader used to be the MP for Shetland, Joe Grimond, in those days.
Oh, yeah.
Saved him the bother of ever coming to London. It was a very good excuse for not going to meetings at Westminster, saying, I'm in the constituency, it'll take me 3 weeks to get there.
I have been to Shetlands because I did a tour, sort of toured Scotland, and I'd sort of looked at the map and thought, we had to fly there from Aberdeen. I thought, we're going to get there in about 2 minutes. It's so close to the coast. And I'm not a fan of flying, especially when the plane looks like it was probably used in the First World War. And so, anyway, I'm on the tarmac, queuing to get in, thinking, shall I just run for it? Oh, no, I forgot, can't run. And two guys in front of me were talking to each other, and one said to the other, one of these crashed last week. Hooray! This is the news that cartographers are to be banned from putting the Shetland Isles in a little box in the corner of maps due to the Isles MSP, Tavish Scott, claiming that it annoys locals. Shetland was actually given to King James III of Scotland as a wedding present when he married Princess Margaret of Denmark. They included it on their John Lewis list in lieu of a kettle. And Shetland, it is surprisingly far away, a whole 428 miles from the English-Scottish border. Or to put it in language we can all understand, if the Proclaimers were gigging in the Shetlands, they would be promising to walk to Newcastle and back just to be the man to fall down at your door. 2 points to Lloyd. Well done. Okay, Lucy, you've got a tune now. Have a listen to this.
Dumb dog, why are you following me? I ain't got a crumb, dog. How about letting me be? I ain't gonna be.
So, Lucy, what's given pause for thought?
That was awful, wasn't it?
Grim.
That was awful. What was that from? Was it like a musical or something?
From Annie.
Oh, is it from... Oh, OK. Mm. I preferred your one-hit wonder of the 80s, Living in a Box by Living in a Box. unadventurous band naming. Anyway, this is about a study was conducted, the results of which were released this week, and this study concluded that dogs are not as clever as we thought. Which presupposes that we thought dogs were clever. I don't know anyone who really thought dogs like, oh, I'm regretting hiring that chihuahua as my defence lawyer now, you know. I mean, I've known a lot of... I love dogs, but I think they are fundamentally quite stupid. And this has been proved. So the Canterbury and Christchurch University have done this study. I mean, it might be one of those things, you know, like when a big study comes out that says something, often there's sort of funding behind it that makes it suspect. Maybe Canterbury and Christchurch University is run by cats. We don't know. So they did a test on wolves, cats, hyenas, chimpanzees, dolphins, horses and pigeons, and dogs. They said dogs, for example, can't recognise themselves in a mirror. I mean, neither can I after I've had more than a bottle and a half of Rioja, but, you know... Apparently, that means they're not their bright. Chimpanzees can recognise human faces and recognise their own faces in the mirror. And more importantly, they can move a piano upstairs just for the price of a cup of tea. They said pigeons are very clever, but I think the pigeons have just fooled us by being dirty with beady eyes, because we fell for that with Russell Brand, didn't we? But anyway, so the idea of this study is not to do dogs down. Like the woman, Dr. Britta Osthaus of the university, she said, "We are doing dogs no favour by expecting too much of them," before chastising her research assistant, Casper the Schnauzer. So it's meant to be, it's basically saying that we, like the way that all parents think their children are geniuses, we credit our pets with greater intelligence than they actually possess.
I think they just misunderstood. They've taken it too literally, as you say. These people at the Canterbury Christchurch University, whatever that may be, and Exeter, I think, are involved as well. They based it on the premise that all people with dogs think dogs are fantastically clever, just because they hear people say, "Who's a clever boy then? Who's a clever girl?"
Dogs are fine. They're bright. I mean, I'll be honest. I've got three kids and a dog, and.
I think dogs are pretty smart because, yeah. Like, they went into outer space before we did. it's about accessibility as well, because, like, basically at the end of this study, they're like, "Oh yeah, dogs aren't that smart, but dolphins are smarter than dogs." You're like, "Yeah, fair enough, but like, how accessible is a dolphin to the common man or woman?" You know?
Exactly.
Have you ever seen a dolphin try to round up some sheep? Pitiful.
And they said pigeons. Have you ever seen a seeing eye pigeon? No. Dogs are doing important things that pigeons will never do, nor dolphins either. I have to say, I'm actually a lot more upset by this study than I thought I was.
Well, I think the rule is, if you're carrying something's poo in a bag, it's not a genius. Well, maybe it is a genius,
yeah,
because you're carrying its poo. Yeah. Okay, so this is the great news, that dogs are actually stupid and therefore it's okay to eat them. Tuck in, everyone. They won't even understand the sense of betrayal. A study compared the intelligence levels and brain power of dogs with horses, dolphins and pigeons and found that most animals' intelligence equaled or excelled that of a dog. Yeah, right. I'd like to see how well a pigeon would do at crafts. Can't wait to see a pigeon recast as Lassie. What's that, Lassie? That's a coo. That's a brilliant pun, you bastards. The writer that wrote that's going to get sacked now because you didn't laugh at it. Anyway, dogs only have limited abilities. A sniffer dog may be able to find drugs, but you watch it try and cut six perfect lines for the police officers. A researcher said, "Dogs are dogs and we need to take their needs and true abilities into account when considering how we treat them. And for God's sake, please stop taking their advice on car insurance." Anyway, this survey finally explains why that idiot Snoopy sleeps on top of his kennel. 2 points to Lucy. Okay, before we reveal the final scores, because I know you can't wait, I can tell the tension in the room is terrifying. Has anyone got a cutting they'd like to share? Francis?
This is from The Times, sent in by Pam Morgan from Winchester. The Clink restaurant at HM Prison Brixton, one of four clinks at prisons across the country, allows inmates to earn qualifications in food preparation. When they leave prison, many former inmates are employed in chains.
Uh, Sindhu?
Lots of people saw this when the news was announced that a new presenter has been signed for the breakfast show on Radio 2. The ticker at the bottom of the screen exclaimed, "Ball bags breakfast."
Lloyd?
Marie-Lise Shepherd saw this article in The Guardian about celebrity couples who have had each other's names as tattoos but have since split up. Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards had each other's name tattooed on their bodies while they were married, but both have since been altered. Richards now has a pixie where her Charlie was.
Thank you, and let's take a look at the final score. Oh, it's close. Are you excited? Yeah, really, look at you. Francis and Sindhu have 9, and they just pipped Lloyd and Lucy, who have 8.
Congratulations.
So, before we leave you, here is a typo seen in a school newsletter sent in by Professor Helen Wilson.
The key word for students this week is perseverance. Never give up in the face of diversity.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Francis Wheen, Sindhu V, Lloyd Langford and Lucy Porter. In the chair was Joe Brand, and the news was read by me, Diana Speed. The chair's script was written by Clint Edwards, Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch and Ian Smith, with additional material by Catherine Brinkworth and Mike Shepherd. The producer was Luke Mason, and it was a BBC Studios production.